Welcome to Bites by MSDN. This is Billy Hollis. My good friend Brad Abrams is here today to talk to us a little bit about some of the interesting things in the WPF and Silverlight world and how that's going to integrate into Visual Studio. Sort of set the context, let folks know what your role is on the team.
So I'm a product unit manager within the developer framework team. Part of what the overall team does is we build out Silverlight, the full .NET framework, the designers for Silverlight and for ASP.NET.
That, to me, being in the WPF Silverlight world a lot, the whole designer experience thing, that's a tough challenge.
It is. It is a tough challenge. You know, one of the things we have to balance is, and I know you know this, like, the WPF and Silverlight are very powerful platforms that let you do very expressive things.
I say degrees of freedom. You have lots of degrees of freedom.
But then we have a large set of developers that... That need some guidance on how to use that freedom, right? That maybe aren't as interested in going in and handwriting a bunch of XAML, in XML format to mark that up. They'd really like to be able to build out their UIs in a very simple way, but still get something attractive.
Right, something that goes beyond what the UI used to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now I know we've got some nice things in Visual Studio 2010 in the WPF space, where you're able to choose resources and styles and things, which I think allows plug-in templates and stuff.
That's right. That's right.
Have we got other interesting things going on?
Yes, so we bring all of those advances forward to Silverlight now with the Silverlight 4 release that we talked about at PDC.
Oh, that's good. So
all of that now, so if you're familiar with what we've done for WPF, it comes forward. So like you mentioned, the resource binding's good. And then data binding. I know I always struggle with the data binding expressions. So now we have a great ways to build up the data binding in a very visual way.
Some designer ways of establishing
That's right. You can just go. So there's two ways to do it. One way, well, there's actually three, I guess. There's one way is there's a dialog box that comes up and you can actually check, okay, this is two-way. Here's the string format to use. Yeah, here's the source to bind to. And it builds up the data binding expression. That's one way. The other way that I'm very excited about is the data sources window. So if you're familiar with, I know you've done some WinForms programming in the past.
Right.
The data sources window was very popular there. Now we brought it forward for both WPF and Silverlight. And then with the Silverlight support for the data sources window, whether your data is coming from SharePoint, from a WCF service, or from a RIA service, you get that data in the data sources window.
Just drag it in.
And then you just drag it in, and there's a list box there that it drags in as you go and start customizing it, applying your templates. And it's really, it gets up to speed very quickly with that.
Well, that's, I like to hear about the hooks of the RIA services,
making that
as simple as everything else, because,
exactly.
I mean, I've been sort of looking at that from the beginning, and it fills a pretty big hole. Well, people should know, I guess, if you had to state sort of the goal of RIA services, the target, how would you express that in kind of an elevator speech way?
Well, I guess the way I'd say it is, you know, for the last 10 years, Microsoft has really been evangelizing kind of two-tier development. That's right, my database and my UI.
Yeah.
I have my database and I have ASP.NET web forms. I have my database and I have a WinForms app. And really what the move to Silverlight and to some extent Ajax as well is really bringing about this end-tier world. And that's the world of web services and WCF and the complexity meter goes to 10 as soon as you start doing that.
You're in-tier whether you want to be or not.
Exactly.
Whether you want to be or not.
That's where we're kind of, that's where the industry is moving. So what we did is we took a step back and we thought about, one thing I really like about the RIA services project is we looked at the problem end-to-end. We said, end-to-end, what's hard about this? There's platform pieces that are hard. There's configuration that's hard. There's deployment. There's management. There's tooling that's hard. And we just addressed it across the board.
And just sort of put the plumbing hidden as you could, put tooling on top of it.
That's right. That's right. So we're built all on top of WCF. So like if you wanted that complexity, and sometimes you need it, you can go under there and get
pull up floorboards, get down,
exactly.
And take it with
you
the plumbing.
Can go do that. But if what you want to do is just build your business app, and it's very easy to go create an entity framework model. Put a domain service on top of that, and then you have the data sources window, and you just drag it out and get your UI, and you're up and going.
So we hope that kind of tooling and that kind of plumbing abstraction would really help the adoption rate, help people move into the Silverlight world a lot more naturally.
Yeah, so I think it'll help. I think there's a lot of people that have that know they need to move to that next step, that know they need to move to that RIA pattern, and I think this is just going to help make them a lot more successful.
Well, you know, I'm as big a proponent of rich internet apps
as
it's possible to be. So, well, thank you, Brett. Thanks for giving us that basic idea of it. This is Billy Hollis with Bites by MSDN, and I hope you've gotten a little bit of an idea from this for some of the exciting things going on as many of us get the opportunity to move to these rich internet applications.